Blog Talk Radio.
One thing, it's time for another edition of TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, as always. I'm your host, Anthony Donahue, with you, going to take you up until 12 p.m. today. Only got an hour with you. I'm going to take your calls up until 12 p.m. right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, you can hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. And, of course, you can call up this show at 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554. And if you're looking to catch Lynn Sanity at the Garden, log on to www.charge.fm. And if you're looking to sell your tickets to Lynn Sanity at the Garden, log on to www.charge.fm also. Wow. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well, inspired. Last night, let's just get right into it. I've been to almost every Knick game the last 11 years. It has been pretty. I've been to so many since 1994, my first game, big playoff games I've been at. Last night's 92-85 victory over the Los Angeles Lakers was one of the most inspirational, inspiring things I've ever seen, and I'm sure most of you guys would agree with me. I think the feeling was going into last night's game was, okay, Lynn can play. There's no doubt he can play. Should you be cautious? Yes, of course. Any fan that was cautious about it, that's fine. If you were negative about it, I have a problem with that. Was I cautious? Yeah, of course. I've seen guards come in a couple games, play really well. Of course, absolutely. And I was a little cautious. I think the things he does, he can always do. The passing, the ball movement. Inspirational leadership. Great, great, great. What happened, this is one of the most, this should be an easy radio show for me to do today, but me, Anthony Donahue, one of the voices of the New York Knicks on the radio, of the internet, I almost don't know what to say right now. I need your guys' help this morning at 646-478-5554, because me, and it doesn't really work well in radio. It's not going to help my paycheck in radio. I don't know what to say, and I get paid to say words. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to finish. But what an amazing, inspiring story this is. I have no problem saying this. I don't care if I get made fun of, like, I didn't watch the highlights. So I was at the game last night, obviously. I was at the Garden until like an hour and a half after. I was around the team, and these guys are really so happy. So happy. Talking about, like, I was talking to Landry Fields after the game, and he was saying, like, you know, the writers come up to him asking him, like, what do you think? And he's like, I just don't know what to say anymore. This is one of the most inspirational things I've ever seen. And when I was talking to Landry, we were talking about how you just got to have faith, man, and if you never give up. And we talked about, you know, my sister last year, what she was going through, and obviously the Jeremy Lin thing is different, but it's still the same thing. Just, you got to believe in yourself, man. You believe it. You can do it. But, I mean, last night, I mean, the first 3 minutes of the game when he has 10 points and 3 assists with, like, 8 minutes left in the first quarter, people were still getting to their seats saying, did he score yet? Did he score? He already has 10 points. It's like something we've never seen, because if it was, say, the first, you know, the first pick in the draft, if the Knicks got Kyrie Irving and was playing like this, it would make sense. This doesn't make sense. This is not real. This is not normal. This is not something you see every year. Hell, this is not something you see every 50 years. It's not. It's absolutely incredible. And we'll get to the calls in a little bit. I can go on. I mean, I was watching. So back to the highlights story. I was watching highlights this morning for the first time. I got up really early. I had tears in my eyes. I don't care. You can make fun of me. I don't care. My eyes were watering this morning watching highlights. And the interviews, and the interview at halftime with ESPN where he talked about, I need to go watch film. If that doesn't inspire you just to do better in your own life, maybe I'm just bad on the area. I'm just, like I said, a radio and loss of words are two things that don't go together. But that's kind of like where I'm at. I mean, and then with Kobe Bryant's comments on Thursday, which I wasn't even mad about, he was probably telling the truth. He probably really didn't know much about Jeremy Lin. He probably just didn't know. And to take it to Kobe Bryant, hitting shot after shot, he moved the ball well. He's inspiring his teammates. The team is so inspired because of this guy. So inspired. And from a basketball standpoint, like I talked about, you know, for example, if there's an offensive rebound, they know to give the ball back to Jeremy. He's the point guard. He is the leader. He is running this ship. And a lot of talk has been, how will it be when Melo and Amari comes back? Will Melo mess it up? I got news for you. And maybe he will. Maybe he will mess it up. Maybe he just will screw the whole goddamn thing up. But I don't think he will. Because let me tell you something about, you know, we know Amari's going to be phenomenal when he gets back. We know that. Because Amari plays off great point guard play. But let me tell you something about Carmelo Anthony. He's a scorer. And when you're a scorer, you want to score the easiest way possible. And there's nothing like scoring easy when you have a point guard distributing you the ball. Yeah, does Melo like his ISOs? Yeah. But now playing with a good point guard that can set him up, he maybe doesn't have to take five dribbles to score. He maybe will get the ball, take one dribble and score. Because he's going to get the ball in the spots where he wants it. Granted, there's not much practice time. He's going to tell Jeremy, listen, I like the ball 17 feet out on the right wing. Get me the ball there, and I'm going to go to work. So where he doesn't have to catch the ball 21 feet out, three or four dribbles and go to work. Jeremy will know where to get the ball to Carmelo Anthony. It's going to make Carmelo Anthony's job so much more simple. Why would you think Melo would mess it up? He's a scorer. Everybody wants their job to be easier in life. If you work at a job and somebody can make your job easier, you're going to take it. Jeremy Lin will make Carmelo Anthony's job so much easier. He's going to be getting set up on a platter from Jeremy Lin. His job is going to be so much easier. And from an X's and O's standpoint, when Melo and Amari come back, try to double team. Are you still going to double team Lin at the top of the key when he goes to make his move? And you're going to leave Carmelo, Amari, or Tyson, or Steve Novak open? I mean, this has a chance to be something really special. And I don't want to, and Jalen Rose said it best last night. If you thought you saw this coming, like, seriously, I don't believe you. Maybe there's someone that, maybe Tommy Amaker, his college coach, thought he'd be a good player. Nobody saw this. Nobody in their right mind saw this. And if you say you did, I don't believe you. I don't. Because no one, Hubie Brown, has been in the NBA for 80,000 years, said last night after the game, I watched it this morning, he's never seen anything like this. Now, we all have our favorite players from the game last night. And I know a lot of you will go with the spin move in the second quarter. Me, personally, when there's about 4 minutes left, and they had a switch, and Pau Gasol was on at the top of the key. And he just looked at Pau and was like, I got you, homie. And just, I mean, it was unreal. It defies logic, these first four games. And then last night, took it to levels beyond belief. Beyond belief. Beyond belief. Beyond belief of things we've ever seen as New York Knicks fans, and maybe as basketball fans. And all you can do is keep riding this, and keep riding this. And until it ends, or you have a point guard in the next 15 years, I don't know. I don't. It's one of the. Mike D'Antoni was about to get fired Saturday. The Knicks were down 12 points in the second quarter. The Garden was dead. People wanted to leave. I was with my friends in the suite talking about, what are we doing after the game? Since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Amazing. Listen, I only got about 40 minutes left of the show, so I want to take your calls. 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554. Let's get back to the calls. Let's start the calls, and let's start it off with Danny in Queens. Danny, you're on the air, the KnicksBlog.com, the KnicksBlog Radio.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
How am I? I am excited. This is what I saw last night was something that, like you said, you don't see ever. You do not see this ever. This man, I don't want to overhype it because, you know what, honestly, what he's done already is enough for because he's given so much inspiration to this team, like you said.
Listen, here's the thing. You actually bring up a good point. If he, let's just say last night was his last, for the sake of this, just having conversation between you and I, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If last night was the last good game of his career, let's just say last night tops it off. It's the last good game of his career, okay? You feel me right now?
Yeah, I'm feeling you.
Do you realize there'd be a feature film movie made? You remember the movie Invincible?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, they made a movie. A guy made like one play. Look at Rudy. Rudy got a movie. He made two stinking plays. If Jeremy Lin's basketball career sucks from here on out, you still have a feature film movie. What happened in the last week?
It's incredible. Oh my goodness. Like I was saying, he's given so much inspiration to his team already that I don't even see us going downhill from here. He can literally not score again. But what he can do, what he's capable of in terms of passing and dribbling, it's been so long since I've seen that on the Knicks.
He doesn't need to score, and he can score.
Yeah.
But
not
he's
all.
Gonna make like I talked about. He's not a score, even though he scored 38 last night. I don't look at him as a scoring type of point guard. He's a great passer, phenomenal in the pick and roll. I really, really irks me when people say Carmelo's gonna mess it up. Carmelo's a scorer.
Right.
Carmelo wants the easiest way to score possible. So how would Carmelo mess it up? I think. And listen, Danny, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you checking in on the KnicksBlog.com, the KnicksBlog Radio. I might kill the Carmelo trade from time to time, but I will never kill Carmelo, okay? Never. I'm not going to kill Carmelo Anthony. He's a lot better teammate than people give him credit for. His job is going to be so much easier getting set up on a platter by Jeremy Lin. 646-478-5554. Let's go to Philip in Minnesota. Philip, you're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the KnicksBlog Radio.
I love your show. I love you, man. The positivity
Thanks.
Is contagious.
What's
and
that?
The positivity is just contagious, and Jeremy Lin is contagious. He is a phenomenon. And I just want to bring up a quick point. The X Factor, being a fellow Asian guy, playing a lot of pickup games, the X Factor is everyone underestimates you, even though he's proved himself.
That's like, okay, I'm a 5'6 white guy, and I love to play ball. And if I show up at this is my regular courts I go to in my neighborhood.
Exactly.
But if I go down to Harlem, for example, and play, and I walk into a park, I'm getting laughed at.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's true. Himself, but still, the
and then I start raining
that
threes like Jimmer, and they're like, get him off my feet.
Every time he's on the court, no one wants to get schooled by him. Especially because he's such a rarity, and he's always had his chip on his shoulder ever since being a top high school player and a leader of a Harvard College basketball team. So it's just the right opportunity, right system, and he's going to continue to be a very important glue to the team no matter what happens from now on, like you said.
I agree. I'm just... Can I said to start the show, you're not supposed to be out of words when you're on the radio because then I'll lose what I have. You know what I mean? Because you guys are, But I just, as loud as the crowd was last night, I almost felt 19,763 people were also in shock. Because the first,
exactly.
I kind of break it down by like nights. The first night was like, okay, it was awesome, but it's like, I've seen other guards have random good games. Marty Collins, for example. Hell, Jamison Brewer even had a good game in 2004. Remember, if you don't remember Jamison Brewer. So I don't know. And then the next night, then he goes on. And he's gone, the first three games weren't against, they weren't against the best teams, but they weren't against scrub point guards. You're talking Darren Williams, Devin Harris, and John Wall. And
exactly.
Last night he was doing it against Steve Blakes, Derek Fisher, Matty Barnes. He was taking it to everybody.
I was watching the game at home, and Magic Johnson, Irvin Magic Johnson, compliments and said that Jeremy Lin has it. And so
he does.
Magic Johnson says he has it. Magic Johnson's no idiot. He's a champion.
I mean, you know what? He definitely does, man. It's unreal. Absolutely unreal, Phil. Well, listen, man. Thank you for calling my show. We also have another regular caller that calls from Minnesota. So it's cool to get, I guess, hopefully the Knicks get a win in Minnesota tonight. Are you going to the game tonight?
No, I'm not, but I'm definitely going to watch at the bar.
Why don't you? Well, are you close to the arena?
No, I'm going to be in St. Paul.
Hey, that's far from where the Timberwolves play?
About 20 minutes.
Oh, so you can't get a ticket? Sold out?
I got to go to meet my wife, but love your show. I'm going to keep listening. Thanks a lot.
I'm going to hook you up
on Facebook. Definitely hook you up, promote you on Facebook.
Definitely, yeah. Hit me up, man. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Take care. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Ja from, I'm going to guess it's Staten Island, but as my call screener today, Johnny McDonald, put up from Shaolin. So, what's up, Ja?
Hey, what's up, man?
Now, are you from Staten Island, or you just wanted to say Lynn in your where you're calling from?
Yeah, a little bit of both, man. I'm also an aspiring rapper, and I got a new song. It's called Dirty Me Lynn, Where Have You Been?
You're a rapper?
Yeah, my new single is
Dirty
Me
Lynn. If I give you a beat right now, will you rap?
You know what?
I know I got a lot of listeners right now. The floor, I got a couple instrumentals. I'll hit you with a primo beat right now. Are you ready?
No, I'm not ready, man.
Come on, man. This is your time to shine. This is your time to shine.
Oh, man.
No pressure.
Right,
you ready?
Man, hit the beat, man. Yeah.
All right. Ready? The beat's only ready. It's a primo beat. Ready? I got to find it. Ready? Ready?
Yeah,
everybody get ready. Everybody count down. What's your name?
Josh Lynn.
Josh from Shaolin. You're going to rap about Jeremy Lin?
Jeremy Lin, where have you been?
All right. You ready? And a count of three. 3, 2, 1.
Yo, like Jeremy Lin, where have you been? They had a little band-aid on his chin. Last night he took the game wire to wire. Big Carmelo and Stoudemire look like amateurs. Oh, man, I'm just kidding, man. I didn't really have that prepared.
What's that?
I said, no, I'm just kidding, man. I really didn't have that prepared, but my thing is, how the hell is
so
this?
Why don't you get it prepared, and why do you email it to me? Send it to me. You on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
All right, friend me on Facebook, Anthony Donahue. Why don't you send it to me, and I will happily play it on my show, on my next show.
Yeah, man, but I have a question, too.
Oh, sure. No, what's going on, man? Welcome aboard.
Yeah, how in the hell did Jeremy Lin come off the bench? From wherever he came from, and we have, like, Amari and Carmelo, and they couldn't even do what this kid has been doing in the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 games.
It's a good question, but I like to think I have a good answer. Basically, because if you look at other point guards of the D'Antoni system, even Nash took him a little time to get it. It took Ray Felton some time to get it. Even Chris Duhon was good in the system. Now, all those guys, different sports, they all had multi-million-dollar contracts, so you could not sit them on the bench. They could not afford to throw Jeremy Lin out there and let him fail right away and get booed miserably and people call for D'Antoni's head even more. So you had to let him learn the system. And finally, when he learned the system, Mike D'Antoni let him go. I know there wasn't much practice time, but there's no way without learning. Even Chauncey Billups said it's one of the most complicated offensive systems ever. So you're not just going to throw – kudos to Mike D'Antoni. You're not just going to throw Jeremy Lin out there and have him fail, a guy with a non-guaranteed contract, Knicks fans that are hungry as hell, would have booed the hell out of him. So Mike D'Antoni made the right decision not to play him yet until he thought he was ready.
At least you have the inside on it, you know what I mean? Where everybody else is not, privy to the inside knowledge.
Mike D'Antoni did the right thing, man.
I'm wondering why the hell wasn't this kid, okay, I guess you did have the answer to it.
Yeah, no, Mike D'Antoni did the right thing, man. No, it's an opinion, but I truly believe that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you have the inside, the inside scoop to it. I'm in shock at all, actually, how good he is. I know the first 3 teams he played were, they were kind of like scrubby teams, even though the point guards are kind of all right.
But the Lakers are no joke, man. Like, you know, come out of school. What are you doing? 38 last night?
No, last night was surreal. It was like something. I don't know, Ja. It was absolutely crazy.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it's not butter.
I don't think anybody can, Ja.
That's this guy, he's there to stay now, right? Jeremy Lin, he's there to stay.
I think so.
I don't think I can watch the Knicks again. Because, you know, the Knicks have been known to make some botch moves, man. Get rid of good, decent point guards and decent players. If something happens with this kid, that's it, man. I'm going to be a New Jersey Nets fan until he moves to Brooklyn.
Yep, no, hopefully we keep it going. Ja, listen, thanks for the call. Hit me on Facebook. Get me that song, all right, man?
You got it, my brother.
All right, take care, Ja. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go all the way to Brazil right now. We got Brazil on the phone. Let's go to Rafael in Brazil. Rafael, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hello, Anthony. How are you, man?
Rafael, how are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm that hyped. I have three things to say to you. The first one is that I'm not that hyped with the Knicks since Larry Johnson made that four-point play. And
right.
I guess the MSG yesterday should be the same feeling, the same hype. And the second one is that I don't think why guys think that Melo won't like to play like with Jeremy Lin. Are they serious? Melo played with Jason Kidd on the Olympic Games, and he thrived. He would be, in that time, the best player in a squad with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, why would
Wade,
that's
and LeBron James.
Make Carmelo's job easier? Why would Carmelo mess it up? You know what I mean?
Unless he is crazy, he had to adjust, and he will score like crazy. Oh, do you think that Steve Novak is better than Melo? Of course not. Melo will kill when guys had to put some big guys in the middle because Lin is going to the layup, and he will pass. He's a first passing first point guard, so they will really kill. I think I'm very hyped, man. Oh, and the third one.
How can you not be hyped? You just gotta ride this out, man. I mean, maybe it rides out the next 15 years. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah.
One of the most unreal things we've ever seen.
The third one, please, send a cheer for my friend, my man, Carlos Tu from Brazil, too, who also is a New York Knicks fan and also
right.
fan for your blog show. He probably should call one of these days and send a cheer for him.
Yeah, have him call in, man. Have him call. I'd love it. Actually, listen, man, I'm getting support from around the world on the show. Man,
it's
cool, man. I can't thank you enough for the support. It means the world to me, man. It really does.
Yeah, may I say that I'm from Brazil? I don't know.
No, thank you, man. That means a lot. You got anything else to ask or say?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, Anthony. Keep going with your show, and let's keep rolling with Lin. It's Lin Sanity.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. 646-478-5554. Getting Brazil on the line today on the show. How about that? Oh, man, this is just... insanity. Or should I say Linsanity? Absolute Linsanity. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls we go, and let's go to Frank in Queens. Frank, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Frank?
Not much. I just got a couple quick points. First thing, I don't think Jeremy Lin could have come in at a better time for what he's doing right now. I mean, you know, with Melo and Amare out and, you know, the guarding kind of down and everybody just looking for one spark, one thing that just happened to set the season off. I think it's great.
Well, that's what I talked about. When the Knicks were playing terrible for weeks, I said the Knicks need a moment. And I said, I don't know what that moment's going to be, but they need a moment.
Absolutely.
And Saturday night was that moment. It wasn't about beating the Nets. It was about the team coming together.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think, like, his personality, his style of play, Mike D'Antoni's offense, like, it just fits. It's a good fit, you know. I'm not jumping on board saying he's a max player, let's sign him to a 8-year deal, you know. But, you know, it's nice right now. Just two things. What do you think about the rotation once Amare and Melo come back? Because now, you know – if you're a Knicks fan, you have to love what Steve Novak and Jared Jeffers are doing.
Okay,
right,
Steve
now.
Steve Novak's there to stay because he's a guy that plays well off good point guard play. He's not going to create
absolutely
for himself. You're definitely keeping Steve Novak there. That's for sure. Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire are going to be fine.
It's going to be
easier for Amari because Amari's played that off that great point guard play forever when he played with Nash and Ray Felton. Carmelo's going to be fine, too, because he's going to tell Jeremy Lin. They're going to figure it out where he wants the ball. When you're a scorer, as I said earlier in the show, when you're a scorer, you want your life to be as easy as possible. You think Carmelo Anthony wants to dribble 6 or 7 times before he puts the ball up? No, but that's what he does.
No.
Carmelo Anthony has been asked to play point guard, has been asked to play shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center the first 20 games, and has been a great teammate. Now his life is going to be so much easier. So I think Carmelo is going to be fine. I think Amari is going to be easier for Amari, but I think Carmelo will be fine.
Yeah, and the last thing, no one's talking about it, but Baron Davis. Now what happens? I've been thinking about this for days now, and I mean, is D'Antoni going to force him into the rotation? I mean,
if Baron Davis comes back and if Baron Davis is healthy, what you do is you got to keep Lin at the starting point guard. You cannot mess
absolutely
that up. What 100%. You do is you can do a few things. You can cut Lin's minutes down from 45 to, like, 35. That's
which
not
should,
a bad
which
idea
should happen.
And you play Diddy. And the thing about Diddy, he can score, okay? He's a very good – and obviously Lin can score, too, we find out. You can play Diddy off the ball because Diddy's a really good three-point shooter. You can play Baron Davis off the ball. And now when you penetrate, not only can you kick out to, say, Novak in the corner, you have Baron Davis to watch out for a three. You have Amari Chandler underneath, and you have Melo on the wing. That's 6 guys, so the Knicks aren't going to have 6 guys in the court. But what I'm saying is Baron can play off the ball. When you're a basketball team, and Frank, man, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. One thing about Mike D'Antoni's offense, and one thing we know is that you need a really good point guard. But every position after the point guard is not a position. It's about getting basketball players together to buy into a system, to buy into a common goal, to win. So if Baron Davis comes back and he's healthy, and Jeremy Lin is doing what he's doing, what you do is you play Baron at the point sometimes, and you can play Baron and Lin at the backcourt at the same time. You can, and it would work. It could work. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to the legend himself. You know, Benji, I'm not much of a name dropper. I dropped your name last night with somebody.
Oh, yeah? Did they know who I was?
They raved about you. They absolutely raved about you.
That's a common
guy I've known for about 7 years, though. But I was like, you know, I didn't know you knew Benji. And he goes, man, Benji's my homie. Benji, a crazy dude.
I wonder who that is.
Can you take a guess?
He's known me for 7 years? Or you've known
him?
No,
I've known him for about 7 years, but I was like, you know, I didn't know you knew Benji.
Yeah, James Miller? No.
No, not James Miller. If it was James Miller, listen, I love James Miller, but I don't know if James Miller get that much credit on the show.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't be praising me that much either.
Jared.
I have no idea who you're referring to. Really?
Yeah.
He said Benji's the man?
Yeah, he raved about you. I mean, he absolutely raved about you.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Let's just set the record straight here. He's caught a lot of blame on this show and criticism and out there everywhere in the Twitterverse and the virtual world.
Well, here's the thing. The blame is not so much blame, I don't think. When you're a team that sucks and you have a guy that's making $30 million and he misses wide-open layups, you don't see the other things that he does, and fans get frustrated, so I get it.
Yeah, no, I know. But, I mean, considering that he's caught all this.
No, he gets a lot more
criticism.
Now.
He has, I mean, I'm... Fans are starting to really appreciate what this guy's doing. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you see the way he's laying his body out on the floor and jumping around to get offensive rebounds. I mean, he's lucky he didn't get injured in that play. He could have easily broken his wrist if he had saw. I don't know how he avoided injury, but
yeah, I know what actually when he first hit the ground, I actually thought he broke his wrist actually, Benji.
Right, and he's had a few injuries like along those lines, kind of like freak things that have happened in games where he's, you know, I don't know how he, because he braced his fall with his hands, and somehow he didn't get injured. But he's literally played, you know, some of the best basketball in the last three or four games I've seen him play as a Knick.
No, he's played great.
He's finishing on those pick and rolls. He's getting offensive rebounds. He's making smart passes. And actually, you know, if you take a step back, and because we're all riding this magical wave here.
But how can you not? How can you not ride?
I know. And it's the craziest part about it is, you know, they got to go back at it tonight against the T-Wolves. It would be a very tough game. And can you imagine if he does and then puts up another 35-point effort or something like that? I'm not saying I expect that. I mean, I don't even know what to say. But I'm starting to really notice Jeffrey's basketball IQ out there. And I'm starting to notice.
Because you're friends with him now, Benji. That's why. Don't lie. I love you because now you know him. You're noticing me. Benji, you're
I know.
It's okay,
yeah,
Benji. It's okay. It's okay.
No, but
Benji, it's okay.
What I like seeing is that if you see on the replay when Lynn had that fast break layup, you see Jeffrey's like waving him around. He's like waving him in. I don't know if you feel the same way. He's sort of taking this like sort of like mentor leadership role on this team. I don't know. I mean, he's almost one of the team's leaders now.
Yeah, he's always been a guy. Jared's always been a guy that's very well respected in the locker room. Sort of like a Malik Rose type guy. Always well respected. Always.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's good to see. It's good to see because it's, you know, it's been bad at times here. But I wanted to ask you, do you think at times and many times. Do you think the Knicks are still going to go after J.R. Smith?
I'm not exactly sure, but they could. He'd help.
And I'm curious.
I don't love J.R. Smith, but you know, he definitely would fill a need.
I know, I do too. I know Novak didn't shoot the ball too well last night, but I thought
if he continues
all around
to get open
game.
Looks, Novak's going to be fine.
I thought he played a really good all around game though. He got some rebounds, he played
good
defense.
Yeah, I was also very impressed in Novak's back to the basket defense.
Yeah, he slapped the ball off Gasol. I mean, he was smart. He I don't know what it is. That Laker team, I watched them back-to-back nights. I know they got the win in Boston, but, I mean, it's just there's no ball movement. It's just Kobe going on the baseline, fading away against a double team. I mean, they have a terrible supporting cast. I think the Lakers' biggest mistake was not amnesting Meta World Peace, even though they can still do it after this year. I think they got to do that. He's got 2 years left at like $6 million apiece. I think you got to get this guy out of here.
Listen, I really don't give a rat's ass what the Lakers do. Sorry, Ben.
No, I know. I'm just saying. He's just like he's a liability out there.
I'm with you. Listen, I got a bunch of other callers. I'm only taking this up till 12, so I keep that longer. But I'm only doing this a quick hour today, so.
Yeah, do your thing, man.
Could you send me some Coldplay?
I want to learn from you,
Benji. Your call is actually pretty popular. Could you please send me some Coldplay?
I will send you some Coldplay, for sure.
Coldplay, romantic Coldplay music.
Of course. I call it closing music, but yeah.
Closing music. Okay. I'll remember that, Benji. Thank you very much.
All right,
as always,
man. I'll keep
listening
love for now.
You,
let's get it tonight.
All right, take care. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And for those wondering about that Coldplay stuff, go back to listen to my last show from Thursday night, listen to Call with Benji. Epic stuff. Let's go to Dave in Queens. Dave, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, what's up, Tony? What's going on, man?
What's up, Dave? How you doing, man?
So good to be calling, like, for, like, not ranting purposes, like, not to be bitching and moaning for a change.
Absolutely.
I wanted to say, I don't know, I didn't hear anybody talk about this, but yesterday during the broadcast, I was watching on MSG, not on the ESPN.
Okay.
Just because I've been watching all the games for Lynn on MSG, so I want to keep it going. But anyway, there was a point in the fourth quarter where one of the announcers said, Lynn made I think he scored a basket or something like that. It might have been after the spin move, but he basically said something like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, like the way Lynn kept scoring, and he had like 35 at that point.
It doesn't make any sense. Listen, you can't say he was this good in college either, because someone that good in college does not get drafted. It defies all logic.
But that was the perfect like moment to me, and all this like I love the Lynn puns, like all the Lynn sanity and Lynning and all that. But like this dude's a professional. He's not like the color commentator either. He's like this straight man. Clyde's the one who's supposed to say like the cute things and everything like that. And this dude's sitting there and he's like a professional and he can't even think of anything else to say.
You're talking about
Yeah, you're mad at him for saying that? I love how he said it. And he just said,
Are you mad at him for saying that?
No, I'm not mad at all.
Oh, you know, because I was talking to Spiro after the game. I was hanging with Spiro for a few minutes after the game, and we both looked at each other, and we both just like we just had nothing to say.
That's what it is. That's why it was like perfect, because it was like
I think Spiro's quote to me after the game was, "This defies all logic." I stole that quote from Spiro, actually.
It does. And you know what was perfect about it is like it was. You know, you got all these analysts who are paid and, you know, basketball minds who are paid, like, you know, whatever they're paid to come up with, like, you know, this in-depth analysis and everything like that. And really, what he said yesterday on air is, like, that's all you can say because it's so improbable. Like, yesterday, I was telling everybody before the game, like, I was like, look, if Jeremy Lin comes out here and scores, like, 16 and has 8 assists and the Knicks win, he's going to be like, if he was big before in the town, he's going to be
dude,
like crazy.
I agree with you. He could have. The Knicks won last night, and he had 11 points and 6 assists. The Lin sanity would continue. But to
right,
do
and
what he
just
did
controlled the offense.
was absolutely unreal.
It was crazy. Because I'm thinking he's going in. He gets most of his offense in the paint before yesterday. And he's got to go in there against Bynum and Gasol all game. I was like, if he gets like a mid teams game, I'm with Andy Wynn, I'll be ecstatic. And for him to score 38 and outduel Kobe, when Kobe cut the lead to 3 and then Lin came back in and like immediately sparked like a 6-0 run, I was like, this is absolutely amazing. That's when I was like, this is like,
I mean, no, you know what was amazing to me was that the game starts, it was actually, if you remember the start of the game, David, thanks for the call, man. I got so many more calls. I know we got 23 more minutes on the show. I appreciate you checking in. I'll give you some more time next time. You got it. So the first 3 possessions, the score was like still 0-0. And then all of a sudden, he has like 10 points in 2 minutes. And you're just like, here we go again. Here we go. It's happening again. We're winning. Here we go again. Like, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. 646-478-5554. Let's go up to Minnesota. What are the odds of having 2 calls from Minnesota and 1 call from Brazil on the same show? That's what we do around here. Jeff, what's up, man? Jeff?
I mean, this is just unreal. I mean, I've been watching the Knicks forever, and this is I can't recall a time seeing anything like this taking place.
Forget the Knicks. How about sports?
The basketball.
How about
the sports? You mentioned Shane Spencer, and I remember that season.
But the difference with Shane, though, that was at the end of the year. And the Shane Spencer thing was awesome, too. But the difference with Shane, the team already had a record in wins, and they were playing against terrible pitching. So it was a little different. Although it was still not to take anything away from the run Shane Spencer had in September of 1998. But this is in the middle of the season. The Knicks are fighting for a playoff spot. And this is happening.
You know, I mean, John Starks. I mean, you can mention any of the unlikely heroes that the Knicks have had that have gone on to have good careers, and this has just blown everything out of the water. And you know, when you look at him, he's a strong point guard. I mean, I was watching the game last night, and Brown kept on mentioning, you know, at 6'3", 200 pounds, he kind of had a little Marbury-esque, I don't want to compare the two players, but, you know, where he could just take the contact and just finish at the rim. You know, he's almost like a running back in there. He's finishing everything. He's getting into the lane, and you know people have to respect you know his ability to get into the lane. So he's just leaving people wide open for Jays all night. I know he didn't have the greatest assist game last night, but him going back and forth to Kobe and him going back and forth with John Wall is just you gotta like his competitive fire he's got out there. This guy doesn't back down from anybody. He just goes right back at him. You know the Lakers cut to 3. Him and Chandler come back in the game, and all of a sudden it's a 9-point lead again with you know late in the fourth quarter.
So the 3 he hit on Gasol was absolutely just absolutely unreal, Jeff. Just, I mean, there's so many plays that were unreal, but the three on Gasol, to me personally, because, like, I actually thought Jeff Hughes was going to drive there, because obviously he's quicker than Powell. But to pop that three right in his mug was just, I was absolutely unreal.
Or the clutch three he had on the baseline, when Jared Jeffries gets the offensive rebound, kicks it out to him, and it's just like there was no, you know, no hesitation. He just caught it, lines up, and you knew it was good as soon as it left his hands. It was just absolutely unreal. You know,
then there was a three in the corner and the pump fake. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
The spin move? Are you kidding me? Like, the contact that he took there for him not to fall on his face and spill the fish, I mean, you got no respect on the play. You know, it should have been an N1. But this is just absolutely unreal. And I'm debating tonight whether or not to go to the game. I mean,
oh,
I'm
you
got to
go. Jeff,
and
man,
I got my 4-year-old with me, so, you know, if I'm out there,
hey, bring
the 4-year-old
to the game. Listen, as always, thanks for checking in. I got a bunch of more calls, and I only got about 15 more minutes left today, so it was just a quick morning show. But I thought it was very important for, not that people actually want to hear me, but I just thought it was very important to be on the air.
Yeah,
this
morning,
I'll
call back in next week, and we'll
always
keep Jeff, going.
Always great hearing from Jeff from Minnesota. 646-478-5554. Let's go out to Brooklyn. Let's talk to Eddie. Eddie, you're on the air at TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, it's doing, Anthony. It's first time calling, man. I love the energy.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I wanted to make a point how people say that Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony and Jeremy Lin can't play together. I would just say, if you see how Jared Jeffrey's numbers have been inflated, and Bill Walker's numbers have been inflated with Jeremy, I don't know how people can say that Amari Stoudemire can't play together. What do you think?
I think the three of them can absolutely play together. I think that Amari and Carmelo without a point guard is an awful situation. I think that's terrible. But what did I say? If you've been listening to this show, before the Knicks even got Carmelo Anthony, I said the only way it's going to work is if you have good point guard play to spread the basketball around. Now they have, you know, Chauncey was hurt a lot of the time. Now they have good point guard play, a guy who will spread the ball around. Now it can work. Now it can work.
And then another thing, too, how do you feel like when George comes back and everybody comes back healthy, do you think we stack up with a deep bench like Philadelphia?
I think we can run with them. I still got to see some more, but I think the Knicks could definitely run with Philly. But, you know, the Philly's been playing some good ball, lost a tough one last night to the Clippers. But I think they can match up with Philly, man. I think they can.
Okay. Cool, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, Eddie, man. Well, thanks for checking in, man. They call the show whenever you'd like.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, throw them a weekend. Let's get a Nick W, man.
All right, you too, Eddie. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go out to New Jersey. Let's talk to Gavin, who's in Neptune. Gavin, you're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Anthony, how's it going, man? It's first time calling.
It's going good. It's going good. How are you doing?
Hey, man, I can't. I've been watching the Knicks for a while, 31 years old, and to see what's going on, I was telling my wife, actually, I was watching the game with her last night after we finished dinner, came home, actually TiVo'd it, and just seeing what Lin is doing on the court, man, it's not like something I've ever seen before with this Knicks team, man, and it's exciting to see. And what a lot of people are not mentioning is this kid is, I just, you know, I hear a lot of the calls, but this kid is only going to continue to improve. He's doing this right now, and his game is so raw. But once
and to be honest,
develop,
he doesn't need
you know,
to be a scorer.
That left hand and that jump shot, you know, what's going to happen then?
Well, when I was talking to Landry last night, I was like, Landry, man, I mean, I didn't know he was this. I figured he was a good passer. I mean, I didn't know he was. I figured he was. I go, Landry, I didn't know he was this wet. And he looked at me last. He goes, oh, hell yeah, man. I go, he's like, he can shoot. I'm like, I did not know he could shoot like that, though.
Exactly. He wasn't, you know, you didn't see the jump shot maybe, you know, the first three games where as much he was just really driving to the lane and, you know, taking it to the hole. But this game, he established that jump shot. I said, man, once this kid develops that, you know, that jump shot and he's able to go to the left, I said, this is going to be a wrap. You know, you get Melo and Stat back now in the fold, and I know Melo will adapt a lot quicker. Probably than Melo, but I know everybody's been hard on Melo, but I think Melo, he's been trying this season. He's been trying to spread the ball around, so I think he'll be okay. He'll know that Lin needs to run the show, and he'll do what he has to do to run that offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think, listen, when Melo and Amari come back, and Gavin, thanks for the call, man. I've got a few more minutes left, so I want to get those calls, and Gavin, thanks for checking in. But, yeah, I think when Melo and Amari come back, Melo and Amari don't have to worry about creating for them others now. Melo and Amari can just go to work, and Lynn can get them the ball. Wow, I'm just at a loss right now. It's 646-478-5554. Actually, on the line, I got a good friend of mine who wants to check in. Let's welcome Ricky Rivers to the show. Ricky's a big basketball man in the city of New York, involved in a lot of stuff. Fireball tournament in the springtime. I'll definitely talk more about that as that gets closer. Ricky, man, what's going on?
What's going on? What's going on, Rice Balls? Let me call you,
man.
I know you're excited about what's going on.
I'm so excited that I can't, the crowd was so loud last night, Ricky, but I also felt like I'm speaking for 19,000 people here. I have no problem speaking for everybody. I felt like we were also in shock, too. Like, he could have had 14 points and 5 assists last night, and people would have said he did great. But to do what he did last night on the biggest stage on national TV against one of the best players in the history of the game, Rick, you can't make that up.
You can't. And, you know, I'm always on the Twitter kind of killing you guys about those Knicks. But I got to give them props right after last night. You know, I was a longtime Laker fan, so I was excited. I was hoping that they would shut down the Lynn dynasty. But last night, Lynn proved to me something else about himself. He proved that he's very resilient, and he proved that he's going to be a keeper, and he's going to be a part of this Knicks run and make a major contribution to it. You know, for a minute, I think everybody else probably thought, you know, maybe this fizzles out. Maybe it's just something hot. But this guy shows he got some talent, man. He got talent.
Well, that was the thing about the first couple, you know, the New Jersey game. The New Jersey game, I was like, I had a great time with, you know, you saw our pictures, me and Sharice and Melo and even Lynn. But, like, that was kind of, oh, it was one game. It was fun. Second game was kind of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Third game, even though it was against a bad Washington team, but to keep it up, and then last night took it to levels that you can't write for an Oscar award winning movie.
Right, he's definitely up for ESPY. He's definitely up for ESPY right now. He went in and he dueled it out with Kobe Bryant and won. You can't get better than that. The 12th guy off the bench is now saving the Knicks organization. But my question to you, I know this is your show, is Lynn the answer to the Knicks' problems? Because right now,
well,
you're not playing
with
Amari. Yeah,
here's why. If he can keep playing good, then yes. Because all I preached about on the show, besides the Knicks showing no heart and passion in the first few months, I won't even get into that, but was – they need a point guard. You can't play, with the exception of the Bulls in the 90s and a couple other teams, the Lakers played like that back in the early 2000s, but they didn't have a true point guard because, you know, Kobe and Ron Harper and Fisher all brought the ball up. But those are great teams, Rick. You can't play basketball without a floor general. And the Knicks, the first month and a half, were playing without a point guard. Forget a good point guard, without a point guard. Come on, you don't teach your – you can't imagine, like, teaching your eighth graders, just have whoever brings the ball up the court brings the ball up the court. How bad is that, Rick? You can't do that in basketball.
But, Ann, here's what I'm thinking. I think he's been a phenomenal player, and he's gotten a lot of attention. I'm just not sure, you know, when I look at it, yes, he's got the confidence around him has risen for some of the players. I think that confidence, to me, and maybe I could be wrong, is new energy. I think people
it is,
are,
yes,
I,
it is new
mellow.
Energy. Who knows? Maybe the last 10 years. That's the thing about this is that, I was talking to some people in the garden last night, and it was just like, we don't know. Like, we don't – maybe it ended last night. Maybe last night was the last time we ever see him play good. But maybe there's 10 more years of it. That's the weird thing about this is that, Rick, we don't know. It's so weird. And Jalen Rose said it best. There was a gentleman at the game to me last night, older gentleman, about 45 years old. I'm not going to disrespect any man. He turned to me and said, I knew he could do this. I wasn't going to be like, stop it. But he was like, yeah, I knew he could do this. I mean, would you look that man in the eye and say, I believe you? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think we know he can do this. I think, one, for him, he's never had a real opportunity to do it. He's played in two different situations where they had point guards that had guaranteed deals, so he never got an opportunity to do it. He's gotten lucky in this situation with point guards being injured to be able to showcase his skills right before they were about to cut him. So he was under a desperate situation to showcase. But my thing is, right now, so far in the four games, he's been a scoring point guard. Do the Knicks with these two max?
Yeah, but he's also Rick. He can also distribute really well. So
yes,
I think he's going to make Melo and Amari's job so much easier. I really believe that. He's so unselfish.
Yes, he is. And I think Amari's job, I think he definitely makes him better. My concern is can he work off Melo? Is Melo going to be content with the ball out of his hands and Lynn setting, creating his offense for him?
I think he could. I think as a scorer, Melo wants the easiest job possible. So I think it could work.
I just know the history of being, of Melo and him dominating the basketball. I think that was the frustrations from the players. That's why the thing wasn't working, because Melo dominated the basketball.
But also, Melo's never played with a point guard with the Knicks that can really spread the ball out. Chauncey Billups was great, but he kind of just brought the ball up and gave the ball to Melo and let him go to work. Chauncey doesn't really, like, create like Lynn does or even like a Nash does. And so we got to see. It might not work, but we got
to
give it a chance. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad that you Knicks are on a run. You Knickers are doing well.
Thank you, Rick. Any Knicks props coming from the man, Ricky Rivers, is never a bad thing. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I'm live. I'm going to tell E. Berg I was live on the show, and I gave my stamp of approval.
All right, Rick. Thanks for checking in, man. Always appreciate talking to you.
No doubt.
All right, take care, Rick. 646-478-5554. I can take three more callers, but every caller only has a chance. I honestly have a ton of calls on hold. Not going to drop the number because I don't want to be that guy. But I'm going to take a few more calls, but every caller is only going to have about one point to make. So we got to make this quick, but I want to get everybody in. Kenyon in Brooklyn. Kenyon, what's up, man?
Hey, Anthony. I'm
only
going
to hype
12, my theory. I went to the first game against New Jersey, right? I think the NBA is big business. The Knicks and Golden State.
What, you think this is a conspiracy?
Let me finish my point before you go ahead. Listen to the theory, Ant. NBA's big business. Knicks let go major talent with Golden State and Houston the last few seasons. When Yao Ming was on the Houston Rockets, they were trying to get him in New York to be in a major market. There's no way this guy's playing like that and nobody saw the talent. So I think it was just like, you know what? We got to get to the Knicks. Remember, they picked Curry ahead of us when we drafted Gallinari or whatever the case it might have been or whatever year that was. But I think it was definitely made sure that Lynn got to display his talents in New York. You may not want to think this, conspiracy theorists or whatever the case may be. I'm just saying we took on McGrady's contract. We traded basically to when we did the whole sign and trade so Lee could get his extension. I'm just saying it was set up. Mark Jackson wanted a job. So I think it's totally set up to have this dude play in New York City. Because there's no way.
Here's the thing, though, Kenyon. You make good points, and you can definitely call back Monday. We'll talk about it longer. Like I only got 8 minutes left. But Yao Ming, you knew was great. Going to be great. He just unfortunately had an injury. He was going to be great.
I think they knew he was going to be very good, but
Kenyon, he wasn't drafted. No one thought that.
No. Well, I'm trying to say, he got worked out for the Knicks before the draft was out. I'm just saying this. I'm not saying the ethnic thing doesn't have a factor in it, you know what I'm saying, with the teams. I'm just saying don't put it past the NBA to see that they wanted to dictate the market he played in.
I can see that, but not for him because nobody knew. Kenyon, I got to let you bounce.
All right, man, that's talent
too.
Good
Monday
to say something that talent. I can't believe all
Kenyon,
something that
Monday
talent.
Monday night, I'm going to have 2 hours, and we'll wrap
right,
for
cool.
more about
I got
for
you,
sure,
I got
Kenyon.
You, man. Cool.
Peace. All right, Kenyon, be good, man. 646-478-5554. I'm going to take two more calls. Cody in Manhattan. Cody, real quick.
All right, Ant, I'm going to keep it short. You know, I'm not going to hold you, but the thing with Lynn, I think he went under the radar because he played at Harvard, and, you know, these guys really weren't televised. He didn't see a lot of their games. And he's an Asian-American point guard. It's not something that people are ready to jump at. I know people don't want to touch that topic, but it's real. If you be real about the way this guy fell under the radar, it's a lot more complicated than it seems. But the bottom line here is, the kid
but he
stuck
wasn't
with
drafted.
It. He stayed in.
He wasn't drafted.
No, he wasn't drafted. But I've been checking out this kid for about 3 years. So people were talking about him. They knew his talent. They saw his numbers. They didn't draft him. And I'm telling you, there's a reason why he drafted. Because you got to think about, you know, I got other people I can draft. Am I going to put this Asian American point guard on my team? This is something that's not common. It's not seen. This is a funny country. And at times, people still got to break through barriers. And this is just the way it works. It's just reality. I'm just glad he kicked that door down.
I disagree,
hard.
Because here's the thing.
I know you
what,
disagree. I know you disagree, but it's not overt.
Cody.
I'm going to let you talk. It's not overt.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But listen,
I love you.
I appreciate your call. The only reason why I'm going to hang up on you, not because I'm mad, I only have 4 more minutes left of the show, and your call takes a lot more time to talk with.
I got you. But remember Magic Johnson. He said he's a real deal.
That's true. So why don't you call back Monday? I'll be doing a 2-hour show, okay?
We will. Call you back. Love you, brother. Take care.
Love you too, baby. Love you too. That's fine. I don't know Cody personally, but I love him. All right, I got time for one last call before we wrap this show up. Everybody else still on hold. I love you guys. I'm sorry. But I got to go to my man Coop in Philly. Coop, what's up, man?
Hey, Anthony. What's up, man?
Oh, man. I don't know. I know.
But quickly to address your caller, Ricky, who called in, I have to disagree. He's not a scoring point guard. What he is a guy who just reacts to the defense. That's all that he does.
That's a great point.
He doesn't go out looking to score. He just, when he runs the pick and roll, they double team, I pass. They slack off me, I shoot. It's really as simple as that. And he's showing those basic fundamental point guard skills that the Knicks have been lacking, and it's just been phenomenal to watch. Now, a little bit under the radar, the New York Knicks, currently, if you go by the defensive rating metric on basketballreference.com, which
they're not that bad.
They are ninth in the league, ninth out of 30 teams. They are in the top third in defense in the NBA. Let's keep that in mind. Tyson Chandler, okay? Tyson Chandler is the only guy who should even deserve an all-star mention from the Knicks, from the way that he's played this year. When you look at the fact that Andrew Bynum had 1-for-8 from the field, think about this team last year, how we got obliterated by every team who had a center. Everybody underneath the basket, we getting out rebounds, about 20 rebounds. Dwight Howard putting up 40 points. Dwight Howard had 8 points against Tyson Chandler this year. He can guard a guy one-on-one in the post. We cannot underrate how great Tyson Chandler has been for the defense and how great he's been for the team. And that is something that let's keep that in mind while we're caught up in the insanity. And I mean, it's a great story. But overall with the team, I think those are things we have to look at. Another concern of mine, and we can see that maybe in this game here against Minnesota, one thing the Lakers did not do, which was pathetic on their part, you have to trap the pick and roll and force Lynn to give up the ball and let someone else be the playmaker.
But he's such a great reading the defense. He'll find the open man easily.
He did. But there were times in the fourth quarter where the Lakers finally decided to do it. Tyson Chandler caught the ball and tried to create a play and turn the ball over. Bill Walker tried to do the same thing, turned it over. And I think that's where other teams are going to start picking up, whether they do or they don't. I don't care. I just know that that's one thing that we
You're right,
have
but,
to
then, but hopefully you
to.
Have guys. Hopefully you have Carmelo and Amari back, even Barron, who other guys who can make plays. When he's getting double like that, and Coop, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in because I got to wrap the show up in about 45 seconds. But when you have other guys who can make plays, right now the only guys out there are guys like Bill Walker, Steve Novak, who are playing good ball but aren't necessarily playmakers. So when he gets trapped, he's able to give the ball up to Carmelo, to Amari, who can make things happen. So, and then they might not trap him as much when Carmelo and Amari are out there. Because you're going to trap him and make him give the ball up to those guys who can score. So now you have two guys on Lynn at the top of the key, and now you're leaving guys like Carmelo or Amari wide open as threats. You might not want to do that either.
Listen,
it has been an amazing show this morning. I wish I could have went for 2 hours, but unfortunately I have other commitments to do. I had to go meet up with Allen Houston for his basketball camp in about an hour and a half where the Knicks practice, so I got a busy day ahead of me. It's been amazing. It's been an amazing ride. Let's keep it going. Make sure to hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. As always, follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Thanks to my producers, Brad Wolf, Johnny McDonald. You guys, I love you guys, man. You guys always help me out, man. Always there for me. I appreciate it. I'll be back on the air, I believe, Monday night at 9 p.m. Knicks in Minnesota tonight. Hopefully get a W, keep this winning streak going. As always, go Knicks. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. That's all I can say, man. That's all I can say. Have a good day, everybody. Happy Saturday. Happy weekend. And take care.